over there. I think these guys had it the whole time, you know. Sure is good to be back. I'm glad y'all decided to come back. I'm sure most of you forgot BJ wasn't going to be here, but that's okay. I'm kidding. It's a joke. Y'all ought to know if you come, I'm here, you're not willing to laugh, you might as well leave. All right. Anyways, I come to you tonight and preaching a message that God has put on my heart, God's message, that I do not want to preach. I've been convicted about this all week. God's been putting it on my heart all week. And I'm just being as honest as I can be with you. I did everything I could do to figure out something different. But this is the only thing that's been on my mind, the only thing God put on my heart. And I hope that it convicts you the way it convicts me. And if it don't, I thank God that I got something out of it. So if you will, tonight, turn with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter number 7. I've got several scriptures for us tonight. Try to get through this. Matthew 7, verse 21. If you will, stand for the reading of God's word. And the Bible says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works?" In verse 23, "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that worketh iniquity." Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I praise you, Father God, for this opportunity to come into the sacred desk and to preach your word. Lord, I thank you for a church, our church, Father God. I thank you for a building to come to. But not only that, Father God, I thank you for the people that were committed to come back and hear your word. Lord, I thank you for the convicting power. I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Father God, for just being all things in our life. Lord, I'm asking you right now, Father, you sweep through this place with your Holy Ghost. You fill us up, Father God, that our cup runneth over, that we can take it into this lost and dying world and preach it to the highways and the hedges. Lord, I pray, Father, right now that you have your way and your will in this place. I pray, Father God, you just rain down from heaven. Let not I be seen, but you, Father God, just hide me far in the shadows of the cross. Lord, and I pray that you forgive us all where we failed you and go with us in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Tonight I come to you with a title that it's not what you have done, but what you have not done that will send you to hell. Not what you have done, but what you have not done that will send you to hell. If you will, turn with me as we get into this to the book of James. To the book of James, chapter number 4, and verse number 17. When you get there, say amen. It's not what you have done, but what you have not done that will send you to hell. Verse number 17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin." I told y'all that I have battled with this all week. I have not wanted to preach this message all week. I've looked back through titles that I've had and notes, and I even looked up encouraging sermons trying to find something different. Because I realized that there's me and if he was here, I'd go in depth, but I'm not going to. Me and BJ had a conversation Wednesday night, and it's just it's just so, I guess, ironic or coincidental, if you want to call that. But it's just the Spirit has been so heavy on me that it's not what we do. It's not what we do, but what we don't do that's going to send us to hell. Luke chapter number 13 and verse number 3. I'm going to have to get me a pulpit set up here so I can. Luke chapter number 13 and verse number 3. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus never once said, unless you're perfect, you can go to heaven. Jesus never said, if you've got it all together, then I might let you in. He never told us that if you had the perfect this and perfect that, and if you knew the Bible and you knew Scripture, He never said that. In this, and the first thing there's two things here that I want to go over that I feel like God's put on my heart through this message, and the first thing being repent. If you don't repent, you will surely die and go to hell. It's the first thing that you got to do. You start feeling the convicting power. You start feeling them, the sweaty palms, or I've heard people talk, you've heard all kind of things, goosebumps or maybe shortness of breath or whatever it might be, but it's the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. You get in those services where the Spirit falls and the preacher's speaking right to you. He's been reading your mail, so to speak. And you're sitting there and all these things that you've been through and done and going through are just ringing out to you. You must repent. You must repent. He never said that being perfect would get you into heaven. He said, unless you repent. Repent is turning away from. I think that's something that gets lost. And I know this is the core of the church, and most of you know, and that's, I thank God for that. But I know it's something that gets lost that we need to go and tell people about. It's something that we need to let them know. It's not just feeling sorry for what you did. It's not just feeling sorry, because I'm sure that there's plenty of people in hell now that was sorry for the things that they did, but they never repented. They never turned away from. They never walked away from and put it aside and stopped doing the sin that they were committing. The problem with what we face now is everybody's entitled. Everybody's entitled to problems and well, you know, we'll let it slide this time. And we've gotten so watered down to where we don't want to hurt people's feelings that nobody really talks about repentance anymore. And I'm not just necessarily saying that nobody in the church talks about it, but I'm saying nobody at work talks about it. And nobody at the kitchen table talks about it. Because it's not just up to the preacher or the pastor that's at the church building to tell you to repent. It's up to the mamas and the daddies mainly, to tell your family you have to repent and turn away from the things that you've got going on. You can't just keep doing what you're doing and expect a different result. Repenting is turning away from and doing the same thing over and over again, mind you, is the definition of insanity. Now, I don't know, some of y'all may call me insane. You know, you may call yourself insane. But insanity in sin is a different type of insane. To knoweth to do good and do wrong. You must repent and turn away from. Not just being sorry and feeling sorry for what you did. Not just feeling bad for the things that you commit, the sins that you commit. But change and walking away from those things. Pushing it away and getting away from the wickedness that covers you. John, Jesus says that He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through Him. I think that a lot of times that we feel sorry for what we do, but we forget to repent. You say that cuss word, or you do this, or you do that, or you whatever it might be, I don't know, dream up your own sin, but I'm just telling you, whatever that might be that you've done, yeah, maybe you feel sorry for it, but did you repent? Maybe you know you did it, you know it's wrong, you know it's bad, but did you confess it? Did you go to the Father with it and ask Him for His grace and mercy? See, most people, I think, get caught up in their righteousness. And you know, most unchurched people think that the church is righteous. But our righteousness is a filthy rags. Does anybody know what, I'm not going to tell you just because I don't want to get off of the subject right here, but do you know what filthy rags stood for in the Bible? If you don't, I encourage you to write that down and Google it tonight. What is the significance of filthy rags in the Bible? And think about that when you look that up. That's your homework tonight. Go and Google that. Look that up. What is the significance of filthy rags in the Bible? And if you don't want to Google it, come talk to me after service and I'll tell you. But just input your righteousness there. And how righteous you are and how we have to repent. We have to repent. Feeling sorry for what we do isn't good enough. Something that I have realized, and it's, you can actually see it on YouTube, but the first message that I ever preached was on second chances. Because I know that God gave me a second chance. I know that God gave me a second chance when I had my wreck. I know He gave me another chance when I almost drowned whitewater rafting. I know that He gave me this chance and that chance and another chance and another chance. And I know that He gave me a second chance. But here's the problem. Not everybody gets one. Not everybody gets one. Not everybody catches the Widowmaker artery being completely blocked up. Not everybody dies two or three times in the ambulance. He's not here, Brother Charles. Not everybody dies two or three times in the ambulance to get brought back. Not everybody hits a guardrail at however fast I was going and gets paralyzed. A lot of people die. Not everybody has that second chance. So when I hear people say, and it's not, it's just, this is generic because it's not necessarily that people say it out loud all the time. But lost people or people that don't come to church talking about how they've got time. They've got time. You don't have time. Time is not on your side. No matter how young you might be or old you might be in this place, time is not on your side. If you will take your hand and put it over your heart, and you feel that heartbeat, that's one less you got left. Because God's only allowed you so many. And there ain't a soul in here that knows how many you got. Time is not on your side. When you start talking about sin or you're trying to talk to somebody about sin or whatever, I'll stop. Yeah, I'm going to stop. I'll stop later. It's okay. It's not. If you're in this place and you're committing an habitual sin and you just keep committing and you just keep on, that's not repentance. Asking God to help you, save you, forgive you, and doing it again the next day is not true repentance. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to be perfect, by no means. But what I am telling you, that bringing it to the cross and laying it at the feet of Jesus and getting up from an altar of prayer or whatever it might be and walking away from that sin. And then when it happens again, if it happens again, it breaking you. And you feeling bad. And immediately knowing that you have to repent. I have to repent now. That is repentance. That's repentance. Delayed repentance is disobedience. And disobedience is a sin. We have to get to the point as Christians and as believers. I have got to get to the point where I have to ask God for conviction in prayer. If you would have told me that in 2011 when I got saved, that I need to ask for conviction, I'd have thought you was crazy. But for me, now, and me and Riley talked about it outside, I've never been too good at following the rules. I just never have. I mean, it don't matter what rules it is, it seems like I'm always the one that's going to break one, you know what I mean? Or push them just as far as I can. You tell me we can only do 65, I'm going to try it at 75, see what happens, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, don't write me a ticket. He's got me on recording now. But what I'm telling you is that we have to pray for that conviction. Asking God to break our hearts when we commit the sin against Him or a sin against Him. Seeking God's face instead of seeking more grace. Asking God to just change us. Don't give me that want to do this anymore. Take it from me. Cast the devil out in Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you a story that I heard one time. An old preacher said during a revival. This is a long time ago, and I don't remember the exact details, but it went something like this. He was preaching a revival, and there was three young men sitting in the back. And they was giggling and laughing and cutting up and giggling and laughing. And after the service, he was standing out there at the door. And as those men come by, one of them looked at him and said, "Hey, preacher, how far is it to hell?" And they laughed and went on and got in their car and left. Just a few short minutes later, sirens started going by. All the EMTs and everything was going down the road, and the preacher was trying to lock up the church, and he went pulling out, and he had to go that way to go home. So for whatever reason, he thought he'd reach down and hit the odometer, and he reset it. And he went a half a mile down the road and found those three boys, had a fatal car wreck, and all of them died. And the man said that particular day, that hell was only half a mile away. I'm telling you, church, you have to repent. There's nothing good that you can do to get you to heaven. I don't care how many people that's been saved by your evangelistics, by your discipleship. The Bible says, "Lord, didn't we do wonderful things in your name?" And he said, "Depart from me, I didn't know you." The rich man in Luke 16 said, "Send Lazarus to my brothers so they don't see this place, so they don't have to endure this place." He was there because he never repented. You can't buy your way. You can't tithe your way. You can't beg your way. Your church attendance doesn't matter when it comes to this. Repent and surrender to Jesus. Because He is the way. He's the truth. And He is the life. Repentance is the first step. Repentance is the first thing. But then you must be willing to confess. Confess Jesus before men. If you will, turn with me back to Matthew, chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 10 and verse number 32. And the Bible says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." 33, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven." If you're not willing to confess Jesus, He's not going to be willing to confess you. It don't matter how much you go to Him and say, "Well, God, I went to church. I told people that I went to church and I got a bunch of people to come with me and all these things." But then when you went to work, you denied Him. When you went to school, you denied Him. When you went to the restaurant down the road and people was watching how you treated this waitress, you denied Him. There's no such thing as a silent saint. No such thing as a silent saint. Never once have you heard somebody talk about somebody that never talked or never told about Jesus and said they was a saint for God. Now, I'm not saying you have to be a preacher and you have to have a loud mouth like I do to be a saint. And I'm not saying I'm a saint by no means. Don't take me wrong on that. But what I am telling you is that there's no such thing as a person that sits on their hands and keeps their mouth shut and don't tell anybody that they know Jesus, that's a saint. There's no way, I've learned this, okay? There's no way that you can meet the same Jesus I've met and not want to share. Matthew, the last verse in Matthew, what's the verse? Brother Eric, it's the memory verse. What was it? Go. He commands us to go. If you haven't been here on Wednesday nights and you've missed that, you've been missing out. You need to get those papers and go over it. But it's an intricate part of being a Christian is telling people what you know. Telling people about what you've got. I bet you that if you got some shiny new truck for Christmas and it was this big surprise or whatever, you'd tell somebody about it. When somebody sees you at the ball game or whatever, like, "Man, I seen you in that new truck. Oh, man, it's got the reverse camera, the heated seats, cooled seats. When you hit the blinker, it blinks on the mirrors, too. It's even got a thing, you know, I don't know, whatever it might be." I bet you tell people about that. But we don't tell people about God. We don't tell people about Jesus. We don't tell people about how awesome our church is. We don't tell people about how awesome our Jesus is. We don't invite people to know what we know. It's like it's a secret. Some great fishing spot that you don't want nobody to know about it. You stuff it in your pocket. Don't tell nobody. Or some public land hunting spot, you know, that you've killed a couple on. And you think, "Ooh, it's the greatest ever." I don't know, maybe I'm talking in my lingo now. I don't know, but what I'm telling you is that it's not something to put in your pocket and just sit on it. If your Christianity is so private that no one knows you're saved, seems like to me it might be too private for heaven. A lot of people A lot of people believe in Jesus. A lot of people believe in God. A lot of people believe in. A lot of people know Jesus and they reverence the name. But they just don't tell people. They just don't tell people. This is on my heart and I'm going to say it. This is the reason why I don't believe BJ's ever done this that I can remember. But this is the reason why I don't believe in every head bowed and every eye closed. Because I was that kid that was sitting in the back during a vacation Bible school that thought that I got saved. And would have told you, like, thought that I got saved, but didn't know that I was supposed to go tell people about Jesus. I didn't know. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But the world is saying that silence is the same. The word is saying that silence is the same as denial. A lot of times we sit in church saying we would never deny Jesus. Never. None of us here. We wouldn't deny Jesus. No way. Uh-uh. No. I'm a member at Union Chapel. There's no way that I would deny Jesus. I'm a Christian. There's no way that I would deny Jesus. That's not me. There's no way I would do that. I would advise you stay on guard because I'm pretty sure Peter probably said the same thing. If I ain't mistaken. Peter went and he ate and he drank and he walked and he fished and he preached with Jesus. Side by side. And still denied him. It was just easier at that time to say, I didn't know him, Brother Tony. It was just easier at that time. It was just, that was the convenient thing to do. Sometimes it is easier. So I'm asking you tonight, as far as telling people about Jesus, are you going to do what's easy? You going to take the easy road? The one that's mostly traveled? The one that most people are walking on? Are you going to follow the crowd? Are you going to keep committing those sins? Are you going to keep doing what you've been doing? Or are you going to confess? You're going to stand up for Jesus. I'm telling y'all, I did not want to preach this. But I believe it's for somebody. I know it's for me. I believe wholeheartedly it's for somebody. Are you going to take the easy road? And sometimes it is easy. Sometimes you tell people you know Jesus and you love Him and they fall right in line with you. But then other times when you're at work and there's things being said and done that's not Christ-like, when you have to stand up, and then you start getting treated like an outcast. It happens. I'm sure it would have been easier for Jesus just to call down a legion of angels than to go through the crucifixion. We have to stand on what we believe. BJ said it this morning, we've got to stick with the book. We've got to stick with the book. And be willing to say we belong to Jesus. Tonight, I'm encouraging you. Somewhere in your life, right now, I feel like everybody's thinking about a spot where you could do better at acknowledging Jesus, confessing Jesus, repenting, and turning away from. Whatever that might be, that's up to you and God. But I'm encouraging you tonight to start after this service, tonight. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't just keep saying, I'll do it. Yeah, I'm going to do it. There's somebody on your heart that you probably should have done witness to. Don't wait. If it's somebody at work, you may not make it to work tomorrow. If it's somebody at home, what if you don't make it home? I'm sitting here telling you that I was the guy that said it wouldn't ever happen to me. I got this. Wouldn't ever happen to me. All the way up to the point that it did. I got it. Don't worry. I got it. Until I did. I'm encouraging you tonight. Repent and take a stand for Jesus. Stick to the book. Get in your word. Start taking a word to work and to school and get in your word. Get in your Bible. But most of all, get with Jesus. Stop putting it off. Stop waiting. Get with Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I praise you, Father God, again for this time to be in your house. I thank you for each and every soul that's represented here tonight, Father God. I ask you, Father, you start putting conviction on the hearts and minds of people. I pray, Father God, that we start repenting and turning to you. We start confessing you, Father God. I pray, Father, that this word does not return void, that we take it into the highways and the hedges, Father God. We just preach your name to this lost and dying world. Lord God, I pray I didn't make a mess out of your message, Father, and that it just touches somebody the same way it's touched me. Lord, I just ask you, Father God, that you start pricking hearts and minds, Father, the way that I've been pricked on this. Lord, I pray, Father God, that somebody be moved tonight. If there be one here lost, Father, that they be saved. If there's somebody here backslid, Father God, that they come back to you. They start repenting, Father God, and turn away from the things. Turn away from the evilness of this world and choose you. Lord, I love you and I do thank you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.